Welcome to Test All Things. Test All Things is an outreach of Tower to Truth Ministries, and I'm your host, Fran Sankey. You can find us on the web at towertotruth.net. Test All Things is a Bible discernment evangelistic program dedicated to creating an awareness of and biblical answers to false religious teachings opposing Christianity today. Today on the show, I'll be speaking with former Jehovah's Witness Tom McGovern. Tom spent many years in the Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on doors and preaching the Watchtower's gospel. He has since left the Jehovah's Witnesses and now active in refuting the false teachings of the Jehovah's Witnesses in his ministry called Dispel the Darkness. Tom has been on this program before and has spoken at different churches giving his testimony, and he's even spoken at the Witnesses Now for Jesus Convention, which is an apologetic conference for former Jehovah's Witnesses in New Ringgold, PA. Tom is from New Jersey, and he has a very important topic for us to learn about today, one in which we as Christians should be rock solid in defending the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hi, Fran. It's great to be here again.
Tom, you've been on a couple times before, and for those who have never heard you, maybe briefly tell us how long were you a Jehovah's Witness, and why did you leave anyway?
Well, I was a Jehovah's Witness for 30 years. I had basically been raised in a non-religious home, and I was very curious about God because I hadn't been really taught very much. I didn't understand when I tried to read the Bible. And when Jehovah's Witnesses came to the door, they seemed to have the answers. You know, they quoted that John 17:3 from their Bible, where it says that it means everlasting life to take in knowledge of the only true God and the one He sent, Christ Jesus. And they get you into that cycle of studying and learning, and they feed you the proof texts and so forth. And it's always do more, do more, do more. And I thought that was Christianity, but over a long period of time, through studying the Watchtower's history and studying the Bible without the Watchtower publications to explain it, I found out that I was wrong about that, and that it was a false teaching.
Well, amen. I'm glad you're saved, too, Tom.
So am I.
Tom, the resurrection, why is the topic of the resurrection important for us to study?
Well, Christianity is really different from every other religion in the world in the sense that its validity rests on a single historical fact. Christians believe that the founder of their religion and the object of their faith, Jesus Christ, was raised from the dead on the third day after he was executed by the Romans through crucifixion. Now, either that's true or it's not. If either Jesus was raised from the dead or he wasn't, if it is true, then Christianity is true. But if it's not, then really Christianity is meaningless. So it's a very pivotal teaching.
Absolutely. You know, Tom, since Jehovah's Witnesses are so hard to witness to, and I don't think I'm different in that area, I think a lot of Christians feel that way, is this topic of the resurrection a good topic to engage a Jehovah's Witness in?
I think if you're going to get into a doctrinal topic, that it is. Yeah, it's not unusual for Christians who are talking with Jehovah's Witnesses for the first time to try to dive right into the deity of Christ or the Trinity or something like that. And Jehovah's Witnesses love that. It's a very complex topic, and they have armed themselves with a wide range of proof texts to try to prove their teaching on it. The topic of the resurrection of Jesus Christ has the advantage of being very clear in Scripture, and it's not something that the Jehovah's Witness at your door is quite as ready to discuss.
Absolutely. Well, now, according to Jehovah's Witnesses, Tom, if they came to my door and I asked them if they believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they're going to say, yeah. So what's up with that?
Well, the problem with Jehovah's Witnesses and other aberrant groups like that is that they often use the same terms as Christians do to describe their doctrines, but they apply completely different meanings to those terms. For example, Jehovah's Witnesses will speak of the Holy Spirit as empowering their work, but they don't understand the Holy Spirit to be the third person of the Trinity, a member of the Godhead as we would. Rather, they regard the Holy Spirit as an impersonal active force from God, sort of like electricity or wind that causes things to happen. Jehovah's Witnesses also apply the term born again as meaning a special anointing in which certain persons are notified by God that they're of the elite 144,000 class. So you really have to be careful in talking with Jehovah's Witnesses and other similar groups to make sure that we clearly define our terms, and not surprisingly, they also distort the meaning of the biblical term resurrection. If we study about Jehovah's Witnesses and the deity of Christ, we find that they believe in and follow a Jesus who's completely different from Jesus of the Bible, and I think you've done some shows on that in the past. In their teaching of the resurrection of Christ, we can see they also follow a different Jesus.
So what exactly do Jehovah's Witnesses teach that's different about the resurrection of Christ?
Well, first of all, they don't believe that Jesus is God. They believe that he is actually the archangel Michael, who assumed human form as the man Jesus Christ. When he was crucified, they believe that he ceased to exist, because they believe that the dead are in an unconscious state, and that's kind of another whole topic. And this continued until the third day, when God recreated him as an angelic spirit being once again to assume his position in heaven as Michael. And that recreation as a spirit is what they refer to in their teachings as the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. They have a book called Reasoning from the Scriptures that says that resurrection involves a reactivating of the life pattern of the individual, which life pattern God has retained in his memory, and the person, according to God's will, may either be restored in a human or a spirit body and yet retains his personal identity, having the same personality and memories as when he died. That same book, a little later on, says that Jesus evidently materialized bodies on the occasions when he appeared to his disciples, as angels had done in the past when appearing to humans. So they don't believe that his physical body was actually resurrected, but that it was disposed of by God, and the resurrection was just his recreation as a spirit. When he did appear to the disciples, he materialized a physical body to show up in, just kind of threw something on for the occasion.
Okay, so basically Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus was raised as an invisible spirit, not bodily.
Correct.
Okay, if you just join me, I'm talking to Tom McGovern from Dispel the Darkness Ministries. If you want to contact Tom, do you want them to email you or call you? What would be best?
The one is fine.
Phone is fine?
Either one is fine.
Okay, well, his phone number is 973-697-5029. Tom, what is the best way to present this topic to a Jehovah's Witness?
Well, we're always told that the best way to recognize a counterfeit $100 bill is to be familiar with what the real thing looks like. So the most basic way that we can prepare to discuss this topic with Jehovah's Witnesses, or really to refute any false teaching, is to be thoroughly familiar with what the Bible says on the subject.
Okay, then how about what does the Bible say about the bodily resurrection of Christ?
Well, we can start way back in the Old Testament. In Psalm 16, 9 and 10, it says, the psalmist writes, "Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body always will also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay." Now, this is a prophecy of the resurrection of Christ. And you notice that it was his body that was to rest secure because of the resurrection hope. Now, a Jehovah's Witness will not generally argue with you. They'll agree with you that this is a prophecy of the resurrection of Christ. But if you ever need to establish the fact, you can turn to Acts 2, verses 25 through 31, where Peter applies this text specifically to Christ.
Okay, that's an Old Testament example. How about some New Testament examples?
Yeah, at Matthew 12, verses 38 through 40, for example, Jesus offered to provide the religious leaders with a sign, and he called it the sign of Jonah. It says, some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Now, did Jonah come out of the fish in a different body than the one in which he was swallowed? Of course not. And what was laid in Jesus' tomb? It was his body, right? Is it reasonable that this sign, where he's comparing his resurrection to the return of Jonah from the fish, would be fulfilled by something coming out of the tomb other than what was laid in it? Another text that's, that kind of follows along the same sort of reasoning is John 2, verses 18 through 22. It says, "Then the Jews demanded of him, 'What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?' Jesus answered them, 'Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days.' And the Jews replied, 'It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?' But the temple he had spoken of was his body." Now we have to ask ourselves this question. It specifically said that the temple that was to be raised was his body. If Jesus' physical body was not raised from the grave, were these two signs really fulfilled? Could the Jesus of the Jehovah's Witnesses, whose body was not raised, be the true Messiah if these were the signs of the true Messiah? There are some other texts, too, that we could get through if we had more time.
Yeah, let's save those till next show, actually. I want to jump into some Jehovah's Witness proof text to prove that Jesus was not raised bodily, but as a spirit. They may take Luke 24, which is a text you might want to talk about in the next show. They'll say that the two men on the road to Emmaus didn't recognize Jesus while he walked with them, and certainly that would prove that he must have appeared to them in a different, unfamiliar body. How would you tackle that, Tom?
We can talk about that. Did you want me to go with that now?
Go ahead.
Jehovah's Witnesses will turn to that text on the road to Emmaus, and they say, well, the disciples didn't recognize Jesus because he was in a different, unfamiliar body. But the text itself explains why. It says they were kept from recognizing him. And then if you look a little further down to verse 31 in the same chapter, it says, then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. So in context, it's true that they didn't recognize him at the time, but it wasn't that Jesus was in a strange body. The problem was with their eyes. They were being prevented from recognizing him, and then the veil was lifted.
That one little verse changes everything. Their eyes were kept from recognizing him. If you just join me, I'm speaking with Tom McGovern. Tom is from Dispel the Darkness Ministries. If you'd like Tom to speak at your church, you can contact him at 973-697-5029. Tom, is there any evidence in the Bible as to how a first century Jew would understand resurrection?
Yeah, in fact, if we trace the use of the word resurrection through the Bible and actually just take a concordance and go right through, you'll find that it always refers to the rising of a physical body. There's never an instance in which somebody is resurrected from the dead in a different sort of body or a different form than what died. Resurrection means what died coming back to life again.
So never, ever an instance in the Bible where somebody was resurrected as an invisible spirit. Never.
Oh, there's not.
Okay. How about Luke 24 again, going back to that section of Scripture. Later on, didn't the apostles make the same mistake as the Watchtower, as the Jehovah's Witnesses make, in thinking that Jesus was an invisible spirit?
Yeah, in Luke 24, 36 through 43, they did make exactly that mistake. Verse 37 in particular specifically tells us that they thought they were seeing a spirit, but Jesus assured his disciples that he was not a spirit. He let them touch his body to see that he had really physically been raised from the dead. Again, this would be a meaningless form of proof if the body in which he had appeared was only one he had materialized for the occasion and he really had been raised as a spirit. Then it was kind of deceptive of him and meaningless for him to appear that way and offer them to touch his body as proof.
It just seems like the Jehovah's Witnesses have a very small leg to stand on here. If a Jehovah's Witness is convinced by Scripture that Jesus did in fact rise bodily from the grave, does this jeopardize any other important Watchtower teachings?
Yeah, that's the problem that arises when we embrace an unbiblical teaching in a specific area. It often throws our doctrine off in other related areas because the Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that Jesus was raised in his physical body. It follows that he doesn't have that body in heaven either. In fact, they believe that it's impossible for anyone to exist in a physical body in heaven. And so, therefore, they have to also believe that Jesus' return is non-physical. So rather than returning to earth visibly and literally, as Christians expect, they believe that Jesus already returned invisibly in 1914 by taking power of the kingdom and turning his attention to earth's affairs at that time. They don't believe that he'll ever literally come back to earth.
Okay, we'll pick up next week. Tom, let's reiterate a little bit of last week's before we jump any further. We're talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how the Jehovah's Witnesses view that. What do the Jehovah's Witnesses believe about the resurrection of Jesus that's different from Christians?
Well, pretty much their whole teaching is different. They believe that Jesus was actually Michael the Archangel who became who assumed human form as the man Jesus Christ. They believe that when he died, he was unconscious or ceased to exist, in effect, for 3 days until God recreated him as a spirit being, a spirit creature, and he once again became Michael the Archangel in heaven. So they believe that his body was never raised from the dead, but really when he appeared to his disciples and appeared to have a physical body, he had just materialized a body for that occasion.
Okay, and last week you talked about some Old Testament and maybe a couple New Testament proof texts proving the bodily resurrection of Jesus, what we need to be familiar with. You said you had some more. How about them?
Yeah, we need to know what the Bible actually teaches on the topic in order to be able to refute false teaching. We did talk about a few last week. A couple others that we might want to keep in mind are Matthew 27, 62 through 64. The Jewish leaders in that text wanted to set a guard over the body of Jesus so that the disciples couldn't steal the body and then claim that Jesus had been resurrected. Well, they wanted to do that because they knew that Jesus said that he would rise from the dead. Now, if Jesus' original hearers had understood him to be speaking of a resurrection in spirit form, why would the Jewish leaders worry about what happened to his body? Obviously, their understanding was that Jesus taught that his body was to be resurrected. Also, in Luke 24:1-6, we read the account of the women going to Jesus' tomb and finding that the body was gone. If Jesus had been recreated as a spirit, why would it even be important enough to mention that the body was gone? It wouldn't make any difference. And the women were confused. They didn't understand what had happened, but the angels who were there had an explanation. The angel said, "He has risen." The disciples came looking for the body, and it was gone, and the angel's explanation was that Jesus had risen. Well, what other explanation could there be for this whole situation except that his body had risen from the grave? And then later on in John 20:19-28, in which Jesus demonstrated to the disciples, and particularly to doubting Thomas, who said that he wouldn't believe in Jesus' resurrection until he saw the body, Jesus demonstrated that he had been raised from the dead by showing them his physical body. And that body even bore the nail marks and the spear mark from his execution. Now, you got to think about that one for a minute. If Jesus had only materialized the body for that occasion so that the disciples could see him, which is what Jehovah's Witnesses teach, why would that body have the nail marks and the spear mark of his execution? What was he trying to get the disciples to believe? Well, the only reasonable conclusion we can come to is that Jesus wanted them to believe that this was the same body in which he had died. And if it wasn't, if it was only a body that he had materialized for the occasion, then wasn't he really trying to deceive them? My Jesus isn't a deceiver, but apparently the Jesus of Jehovah's Witnesses is. I mean, it's pretty obvious that if Jesus was raised from the dead in his human physical body, as these scriptures seem to plainly indicate, then this teaching of the Jehovah's Witnesses that he had to materialize different bodies in order to appear to his disciples just wouldn't make sense, would it?
Good points in there, Tom. Good points. Do we have any scriptural support that Jesus not only was resurrected bodily, but also ascended to heaven bodily?
Yeah, in fact, in Acts 17:31 and 1 Timothy 2:5-6, both of those texts refer to Jesus as a man, even though they were both written well after his resurrection and ascension. Now, if he didn't retain his humanity in his resurrected state, if his body was not raised from the dead and he was just recreated as an angel, you couldn't really refer to him as a man anymore, could you? It would be impossible if he hadn't been resurrected in his body.
If you just join me, I am speaking with Tom McGovern. Tom is a former Jehovah's Witness. His ministry is called Dispel the Darkness. You can speak to Tom by phone at 973-697-5029. He is available to teach at your church. Tom, I'm going to play the Jehovah's Witness a little bit here.
Okay.
1 Corinthians 15:44 says that the body is sown a natural body, but is raised a spiritual body. Now, doesn't this prove that Jesus was resurrected as an invisible spirit?
Well, we have to remember that it was Paul who was writing here, so we want to look at a few other uses, ways that he uses the word spiritual in his writings. If we flip back to 1 Corinthians 10:3-4, we read about what kind of food and drink were provided to the Israelites in the wilderness, and it says there that they were given spiritual food and drink, right? Now, they received manna from heaven, they got water from the rock. Were these things invisible and immaterial, or are they called spiritual because they were of supernatural origin? Well, I think the answer is pretty obvious. And then if we look over at 1 Corinthians 2:14-15, what kind of a man is being spoken of in verse 15? Is it a man who is invisible and immaterial when it talks about a spiritual man? That's absurd. A spiritual man is one who has the Spirit of God, who's controlled and motivated by the Holy Spirit. In fact, if you are talking with a Jehovah's Witness, you might want to ask them if they think of themselves as a spiritual man or woman. Ask them if they think that means that they are therefore immaterial and invisible. Almost every one of them will claim to be a spiritual person, but they certainly acknowledge that they are not immaterial or invisible. Now, given all that, given Paul's usage of the term spiritual, what do you think he means when he refers to the resurrection body as a spiritual body? It's a body whose origin is supernatural because it's been glorified and empowered by God. It's also a body under the control and direction of the Holy Spirit, but it is, nonetheless, a body. And it's also important to understand that the resurrection of believers is parallel to that of Jesus. Romans 8:11 is a text that makes that comparison explicitly and shows exactly what kind of a body we'll receive. It says, And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. So you see, in this verse, the resurrection of Christians is specifically paralleled with Christ's, and we're told that it is our mortal bodies that will be given life by God. I mean, what could be plainer?
Okay, I'm still in JW mode here. I'm still playing the devil's advocate. Good points there. I'll give you some of that. 1 Corinthians 15:50 says that flesh and blood cannot enter God's kingdom. Isn't this proof that Jesus couldn't have ascended back to heaven in a physical form?
Well, and that's probably one of the first texts that a Jehovah's Witness will pull out when you try to discuss this. You see that? How could Jesus ascend back to heaven in a physical body made of flesh and blood? Because flesh and blood cannot inherit God's kingdom. And it can be a tricky text because at the first glance, it does appear to support their view. But I think that the first part of the verse is explained by the last part. The perishable cannot inherit the imperishable. Flesh and blood is an idiom here that's being used to refer to mortal humanity. And we can see the use of that idiom at Matthew 16:17, where Jesus says to Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And, of course, what had been revealed was that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, was Jesus saying that the physical makeup of the human body had not revealed his identity to Peter, or was he saying that it was not something that Peter had learned from mortal men, that this knowledge had a heavenly source? If we look back at that verse we're talking about in 1 Corinthians, just skip a few verses ahead to verse 53, it says, "For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality." We don't stop being human to go to heaven, and neither did Jesus. Rather, he added to his humanity. He put on immortality and imperishability. He didn't relinquish flesh and blood, but his body became something so much more than mere flesh and blood. And here's the main thing about this text. This is a difficult text that requires a little bit of interpreting. In light of all the very plain texts that we've talked about that show without question that Christ was raised in his physical body, why would you use a more difficult text to sweep away all the clear words of Scripture? We interpret the difficult texts in the light of the clear ones and not the other way around. And yet Jehovah's Witnesses try to sweep away all those texts using proof texts like this.
Yeah, absolutely they do. Well, I'm still in Jehovah's Witness mode. I'll give it one more shot. 1 Peter 3, I believe it's verse 18-ish, says that Jesus was raised in the Spirit. Isn't this good enough proof that Jesus was raised as an invisible spirit?
And it is a bit of a translation issue in this verse, because some translations, like the NIV, say that Jesus was made alive by the Spirit, whereas others, including the New American Standard Bible and the Jehovah's Witnesses New World Translation, say that he was made alive in the Spirit. But either way, either wording is making reference to the fact that his resurrection was accomplished in the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, but Jehovah's Witnesses insist that the phrase made alive in the Spirit has to mean made alive as a spirit being. But that's certainly not what the text is saying. And again, if there's a bit of a translation or a difficult interpretation issue with a text like this, we don't want to use it to sweep away a lot of plain statements of Scripture. That's just bad interpretation.
If you just join me, I'm speaking with former Jehovah's Witness Tom McGovern. He is the director of Dispel the Darkness Ministries. If you want him to speak at your church, you can call him by phone at 973-697-5029. I'll try one more text. John 20:15 says that Jesus appeared to Mary as a gardener. Wouldn't this be evidence enough that Jesus rose as an invisible spirit and had to take on a different form to prove his resurrection?
Well, first of all, the text doesn't say that Jesus appeared as a gardener. It says that Mary thought he was the gardener. And we can imagine the scenario that's described for us there in that chapter. It was morning. As verse 1 tells us, it was still dark. Mary had been crying. We can understand why her vision might not have been so clear. She was confused because the tomb where she had expected to find Jesus' body was empty. She was concerned that the body might have been stolen or worse. And it's very important to realize that she wasn't expecting to see a man who she knew had died standing in front of her speaking to her. That's just not something we expect to see when we visit a grave. So we can understand why Mary might have been confused to some degree without having to postulate that Jesus had actually materialized to her in a different body than the one that had died.
Last question, Tom. What would you say to challenge a Jehovah's Witness who may listen to this program and begin to wonder if the Watchtower could be wrong about this issue?
I would say that there is a wonderful hope that's extended to us on the basis of Jesus' resurrection. In his resurrection, Jesus' physical body was glorified, made immortal, incorruptible, and made ready to enter into the very presence of God. Jehovah's Witnesses sometimes make fun of Christians because they think that we believe that our hope is to float around on clouds as spirit for all eternity, playing harps, but our hope is so much greater than that. We can read about it in 1 John 3, verse 2. It says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." As Jesus' physical body was glorified, ours will be too. If we die prior to his return in glory, our bodies will be raised from the dead and made like his. Those who are alive at his coming will be glorified just as he is at that time. We'll live forever, not as immaterial spirits, but in the very bodies we have now, perfected and glorified by God in his presence.
Tom, I got to cut you off there. We got to go. If you're interested in a CD of both parts of this interview, contact me. My email is help@tower2truth.net, and my phone number is 610-513-5525. That's 610-513-5525. My website is tower2truth.net. And don't forget to tune in next week for another important apologetic issue facing Christianity today. And remember, don't just believe everything you hear, but test all things.